Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken Edwards, NCL. To my right, Ed Maher, NCL. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going? I'm doing great. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. It's beautiful out, right?
It's just gorgeous.
Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Saw you all this week, actually, right? This is the second time that we will have been together this week. And
yeah,
we had the panel at Local 399.
Thanks Spotlight on Transit.
And thanks to them for letting us use the hall. And all who put that all together, Ed?
That was the Labor Alliance for Public Transportation, which is a coalition of about 30 unions. And then I think it was sponsored by the Operating Engineers at Local 150, the Illinois, Indiana, Iowa Foundation for Fair Contracting, the Illinois AFL-CIO, and the Chicago Federation of Labor.
Well, we appreciate that. It was really cool, actually.
I learned a lot.
Yeah, I did not. So tell everybody real quick, just a two-second recap, just to put it back out there in the on the airwaves, because it really is a deadline that's looming.
Yeah.
Right?
We had both the Senator Ron Villavallum and Marcus Evans, representative from the House, who are both kind of leading this effort.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big get in terms of guests. And I think the day after our panel, they actually had a press conference saying that they are calling for the state to fully fund the $770 million funding gap to keep transit operational.
So that's the issue, right?
That's the issue.
So the issue it's completely funding, and there is $700 million that they need to find
to keep service at its current levels.
But that raises the question,
right? So do you keep service at its current levels, or do you actually invest more and make service better?
I think
more lines, just make it more efficient.
If you invest more, and there was somebody on one of the panels who said that every dollar that's spent on public transit turns out like $3.80 into the economy. So it's a good investment. But if you think about it, one of the struggles they're having is they don't have enough people riding right now because not as many folks are working downtown. So they're trying to get people on the train. How do you do that? Make it nice. Make it exciting. Make it
safe.
Something new. Safe, exactly.
Yeah.
And give people a reason to do it and publicize what you're doing. Make it easier for people to get from suburb to suburb.
Right. Change the service routes.
Yeah, buses, trains, whatever. And just if I had to take a train from one part of the suburbs to another and had to take a bus, I wouldn't know where to begin.
Yeah.
It's a morass. It's a nightmare.
And obviously with just commuting habits changing, not as many people working downtown anymore. Like the metro system specifically doesn't need to be, here's your one route is to go from wherever your area is, whatever suburb you live in, to downtown. That's your only destination. You know,
right.
Let's do it. You can get to other places. You can go to other suburbs. And so, I know there's talk about
and
that.
And the advocates were all about that. I mean, these are all ideas that are on the table. But, I mean, they're at a point where they're trying to maintain current funding. And that's a fight. So I think the folks that we had there understand and really carried the message well that we have an opportunity not just to accept what we have right now that, you know, even folks who love the system have complaints about it.
Yeah.
We have an opportunity to make it better, to rebuild it, to kind of, you know, let's do something like when cities get the Olympics or, you know, all the innovations that Chicago got 100 years ago in the World's Fair.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those kinds of moments where we can rebuild this and make it like an actual asset to the city.
Which amazes me, by the way, because I didn't know this until that panel. But they said, look, our budget is $83 billion.
Yeah.
$83 billion.
Last time I looked, like 10 years ago, I thought it was in like the 50s or something.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, it's like, wait, that number doesn't seem so big anymore, the 700 and whatever.
I think when you include capital spending as well, that's where the $80 billion comes from.
Fine. Yeah. But, you know, let's spend and look, again, what does this have to do with workers? Those, you know, the transit system, right? The whole shebang, the RTA, I think it's called Regional Transit Authority,
which is CTA, Metro.
It's got everything. Has a lot of very, very, you know, tough but good paying jobs.
Yeah.
Right. And secondly, it brings people to work. You know,
so
we talked to a Unite Here member, Local One, Karen Kent's local that was a
chef.
I want to say like a line cook, like a chef.
Yeah, at one of the hotels.
And she specifically said, I don't have a car.
Yeah.
And I have to rely on public transportation to go downtown to work at the hotel.
Yeah.
But because I don't have a car and rely on public transportation, I was able to take the money that I would have spent on a car, gas, insurance, et cetera, and I bought a house.
That was cool. Right?
That was really, really cool.
Yeah.
You know, so this affects a lot of people. And then to your point, Ed, what you said earlier, and, you know, once again, politicians, be careful, because if I'm on the chopping block and I think that perhaps they're going to cut funding or maybe cut some of the bus routes or lines or services or whatever, I'm looking for another job.
For sure.
Right.
And I mean, it's like what we're seeing at the federal level. But if May 31 passes and they make a bunch of cuts, people are going to lose their jobs quickly. People
yes.
who run the trains, clean the trains, you know, work the signals, whatever. There are so many different types of workers who work for the system. And if you all of a sudden cut their job, they're not going to sit around waiting for a month or 2 months. They're going to need to go find another job. So,
and these are not, by the way, they're not unskilled jobs.
That's for
you know,
sure.
You're talking about a train conductor, you know, linemen, people working on the tracks, you know, it's dangerous, et cetera. It's like, hey, you're going to lose that talent, and they're going to go elsewhere. And by the
drivers.
Way, welcome to the building trades, guys and gals.
We'll take you.
Right? But you're going to lose that, and then what? Right? Oh, you know what? We found the money. And why, by the way, how about this? Can't you just tax Amazon?
Right?
Seriously.
Doesn't that just resolve everything?
He's sending his friends into space.
Yeah, they're going out of space. Isn't that transit?
Yeah.
That's kind of transit, right? It's transit related.
I read something that the other day that said, imagine you're living in the Ice Age 80,000 years ago, and you're like, I'm going to start saving money. So that day, you start saving $10,000 every day.
Okay.
From then until today,
you
still won't have as much money as Elon Musk.
The Ice Age.
Yeah, wow. 80,000 years ago.
But here, just tax the rich, tax the corporations, make them pay their fair share, and guess what? Voila.
We can have nice things.
We can have flying cars.
Yeah.
All of us. Yes.
Jetpacks.
Yeah. Let's take a regular car.
And look, and speaking of this.
We want fire trucks.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, right. We need like three ambulances, please.
Yeah, that's all we are asking
please,
for.
Please, Brandon, Johnson, Mayor. So, and speaking of this, you know what's happening in Jersey right now? The transit workers went on strike.
Yeah.
Right? So you know how many people are
affected
by
that? How's that
going? 350,000 people are affected by that strike. And a lot of those people in Jersey, guess where they work? Manhattan.
Yeah.
New York City. And that's not a lot of easy ways to get into Manhattan. I was just there last week, Ed. You know, I was driving around the country for whatever it was. And holy cow.
Because there's the congestion tax, right?
Well, there's congestion pricing.
Yeah.
But hey, and even if there wasn't, there's just not enough room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Manhattan's only 2 miles wide and 7 miles long. So guess what? People are not going to be able to get into the city. They're not going to be able to get to work. Where are you going to go? So they're on strike right now. I think it's the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen.
BLET.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Are they part of the Teamsters? I think they are somehow.
Is Manhattan safer without all those people from Jersey?
You're making like a Jersey joke?
I'm asking a question is all I'm doing.
Anytime I meet somebody from Jersey, I just always go.
It definitely smells better.
I literally go, what exit? And a lot of times they answer.
Yeah?
That's from Saturday Night Live, I think, way back in the day, right?
There are some very nice places in Jersey.
Yeah,
and then there are some other places that are not as nice in Jersey.
Hoboken.
Those are the places that I've been in Jersey. Yeah.
You know what? The Giants play in Jersey. So do the Jets.
That's right.
Which is really weird.
Yeah.
Right?
The New York Kings play in Jersey.
It's the goofiest thing in the world. So I was just coming out of it. So I was in New York, and it was like just crazy how congested it is. And then as I was leaving to sort of head back to the Midwest, I want to say, I'm not making this up, it took me 2.5 hours to get out of New York into like
just to get through the Holland Tunnel. Yeah.
There and then elsewhere because everything was all jammed up. And I don't know if you know this, like, well, you wouldn't. I-80 is having, they have sinkholes on I-80 because they built over rail mines or something like that. So they're having literally sinkholes on highways. These are federal highways.
If
right?
we take over Greenland, can we just like all move there? Because they have new things and they won't have sinkholes in Greenland. You know, is that why we're doing this?
It's not Iceland?
No, it's Greenland. Yeah. Iceland's too small.
Yeah. Oh, really?
They wouldn't have us anyway. Iceland people are
they're
clever. That's in Iceland.
That's Iceland.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And it's beautiful.
Is it really?
It's cold, but it's awesome.
You went there.
I went there last year. Iceland is the greatest.
All right, listen. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about something that is really, really cool. We alluded to it earlier when we were on the thing on Wednesday on the panel, but that is our Pope and how it ties into workers. So stick around. We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
We're going to put the listeners to sleep, Ken. You know,
during the commercial break, we flew to Rome. And we are currently at the Vatican.
Yeah, so this counts for church on Sunday mornings, all you listeners.
Yeah, you guys don't have to go to church today.
Bonus.
Congratulations.
Dispensation.
Anyway, that's our funny soundtrack. That's what I feel like that sounds like in church.
Where did you find that music?
Don't worry about it.
Aren't you Jewish?
What?
Okay, that explains
when it's,
a lot.
When it's convenient.
That makes sense.
If there's a holiday coming up, I certainly am. So, all right, check it out, right? Big news, Pope, right? And you guys are from Chicago. You guys, and I feel like I'm almost from Chicago now. The world has to be, part of the world is completely shocked. And here in America, except for the whack jobs, people are like, hell yes, an American Pope.
First
yeah,
ever.
We'll take them.
First ever.
You know how many popes there have been?
267.
That's right.
Yes.
How do you know this?
I know my popes.
I read a book about all the popes last year.
Did you really?
The absolute
Can
monarchs.
You name them all?
I can name the noteworthy ones.
Well, so we're going to talk about a noteworthy one right now.
That's right.
And why it's noteworthy to us.
Yeah.
Right? So this guy, and his name is, what's his name?
Francis Prevost.
Robert Prevost. He's from Dalton.
Guess he is.
Dalton, Illinois.
Yeah.
So, I got lost one time and wound up in Dalton and was fine.
Dalton's back on the map now, man.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if in a good way. But anyway, so he becomes Pope. Now, I just got to say, there's just no way that was not a message to the United States, a message to the world. Picking an American Pope, and specifically this guy, who then you get to pick your Pope name. You knew this?
You do.
You get to pick a name.
It's like the first thing you do.
You pick a Pope name.
You say it right there in the Sistine Chapel.
There's a lot of names to pick from.
I didn't know. Well, 267, yeah. I guess, right?
And which one did he go with?
He went with Leo. And Leo...
14th.
The 14th. And guess when
did he pick that?
Guess when the last Leo was, though?
Late 1800s.
That's right. 1878 to 1903. That was Leo the 13th. So, why did he pick that, right? Great question.
Yeah.
Why do we care?
And why do we care, right? And so this ties it back to the worker bee. Leo the 13th was known for his advocacy for workers' rights.
Well, it was during the Industrial Revolution.
It was like sort of, it was right there. And there was, I guess he wrote a paper.
The Rerum Novarum.
Which means, that's Latin for worker's mic.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I like that.
Yeah, I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, there's still an award given out by Chicago Archdiocese.
It's a loose translation, but it's still a translation. Yeah. Yeah,
very loose translation. But this Pope the 13th one addressed working conditions and whatever, and basically the new Pope, our guy, basically says, hey, I'm right there with this guy. We need to have workers' rights, collective bargaining, unionism. And this is what this guy said 100 years ago.
Right.
And this guy is saying today. And I started to this is fascinating to me.
As if we couldn't like this Pope anymore.
Right, exactly right. He's from Chicago, right? I guess he's a Sox fan.
Some Chicago unions got to give him an honorary union card and mail it to him.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. What would it be?
Oh, he's a carpenter. Obviously.
There go the carpenters trying to take everything.
It is a good point. All right, it's a good point. So, but check this out. The reason that the 13th Leo, right, the one from the 1800s, wrote this paper and took that position about worker bees and getting on the side of the working class was because at that point, you had sort of come off the French Revolution and things that were going on, and a lot of the world was seeing the Catholic Church as friends of the elite and anti-worker and anti, little man, etc. And so this Pope said, we need to turn that around or we're going to lose people. And so he said, rightfully, by the way, let's go back to the working class. Let's go back to the middle class, you know, people that are actually building stuff. And like you said, Ed, the Industrial Revolution.
They recognized that workers had become, they were now just being treated merely as commodities.
That's right.
And there was, you know, no end to the amount of work that they had to do. And this was interfering with their ability to practice their religion.
That's
so
right.
The whole 8 hours work, 8 hours rest, 8 hours for what
I
will.
Yep.
In that 8 hours of what you will, that's where worship is supposed to be, and they didn't have that.
And they were losing faith in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
So he comes out with this entire, you know, basically, I guess it's a paper. I don't
know. The Rerum Novarum. It was an encyclical.
What does that mean?
I have no idea, Phil.
Don't ask about it.
Okay.
It's Latin for workers, Mike, also.
All right, fair enough. Yes. Okay. So anyway, so the new pope takes the same position. And you know, I think it should send a message to this country, to the world, that, you know, if the Pope, who, by the way, talks directly to God.
Yes.
Correct?
That's what I heard.
Is taking the side of the working class and asking, you know, corporations or telling corporations to treat people with dignity, with respect, to allow them to unionize, to organize, to give them a fair wage so they can, you know, practice, you know, Catholicism or whatever religion they want. He didn't mention Catholicism, but you know, it just, why not take a page from the Pope's book now, right? And so, you know, if it's good enough for the Pope, to be blunt with you, it's good enough for me.
I'm going to wait to see what else he's all about to say that. But yeah, on the worker issue, absolutely. Yeah, I'm 100%.
He's already come out against AI, which is, I mean, how great is it? We have a Pope who understands the problem that AI poses to workers and humanity in general, and said, like, look, this is going to cause detrimental harm to our working class. We need to have protections against it. And hopefully that will fall on some ears that will actually pay attention to it in Washington and elsewhere, because right now it's kind of like, I think there was a bill to actually ban states from intervening and regulating AI at the federal level.
And it was written by ChatGPT.
It probably was.
You will not ban us.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's going to be like Terminator 3. I know there was a Terminator 3, just saw it. Except it's going to be the Pope killing robots.
Seriously.
And I'm going to go see it multiple times.
The next Pope is going to be a robot.
I hope not.
Possibly.
Pope Robot the First.
Was that Robert? No, Robot.
Robot.
Yeah. Interesting.
So anyway, I just think it's really cool. But we'll see what he does. At some point, obviously, he will be here on the Workers' Mic.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? We got friends in high places.
Yes, he's called a few times, and I'm like, listen,
I'm really busy.
You're new. You know, once you get your feet under you.
Exactly.
And then, you know, we'll have you on. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, we're going to set a meeting.
Send us your avails.
We're going to do the meeting at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
Ooh. He won't come.
I probably won't. I mean, he is the Pope. He gets to kind of decide.
But you know what? Just mind-boggling to me. He's an American Pope. He's pro-working class. He's pro-people. We should be happy. We should be proud, especially here in Chicago. Like, hey, we got the Pope.
Yeah.
First time.
And by the way, 267 popes, how many years does that go back?
Goes back to Peter.
Is that right?
He was the first pope.
2,000 years.
Okay. 2000,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Now I know. So I learned something. Anyway, some of the right-wing commentators, bloggers, people, you know, pundits, whatever, they complain that he didn't give his speech in English. They're like, if the Pope is from America, why didn't you give a speech in English?
Well, he was in
Italy.
Like,
I think because he was at the Vatican, I don't know, maybe that's what you do. Like, he wasn't here in the United States.
It is the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes.
I mean, they all speak Italian.
Over just like, not
but
surprising.
But I'll tell you what, there's videos of him speaking English at, like, in interviews and giving speeches in English, and he sounds like a guy from Chicago.
Does he? Oh, he's got the accent stuff?
Yeah.
Nice.
Does he have a horrible Chicago accent?
No, it's not horrible, but he seems, it's something that I've never seen.
Hey, God.
It was over here.
Hey, God.
On 33rd, Benzie.
Hey, God.
Pope.
Maybe it could make the Sox win.
Well, we're going to find out how close the Pope's relationship with God really is based on the White Sox change of fortunes.
All right, listen, we're going to be back with more of the Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor, Ken, Ed, Phil, and the Pope. That was cool.
He's always with us. Oh, I thought you meant he's here too, which he is.
He's here in my heart, you know.
Yeah, why not?
But anyway, I just think it's cool that the Pope like came right out of the gate and goes, workers' rights.
Yeah.
Join a union.
Yeah. Right? For sure.
I mean, come on, that's fantastic. So, speaking of joining unions, you know joining a union?
Who's that?
Big Bird.
That's right. U is for union.
Elmo.
Yeah, the employees at Sesame Street, who I think are sensing the heat coming, as they say, with Trump trying to wipe out PBS money.
PBS, yeah, everything.
Trying to just get rid of it. They have voted overwhelmingly to join a union. That's the OPEIU, Office Professional Employees International Union.
That is so surprising that they weren't unionized
before. I was surprised to see that as well. But
I can't believe that. Yeah, why wouldn't they be like Actors Equity or SAG-AFTRA or something like that?
Nothing against OPEIU. If you're listening.
No, but I mean, I'm serious. Like, even like the cameraman, yeah. Or, you know, whatever, there must have been some unionized folks in there. And by the way, it's PBS.
Yeah. Right? So no one there is? No writers? No directors?
Wow. I don't know. Yeah.
Find out more, Phil.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out more. But
that would entail us doing homework.
My homework consisted of me watching old episodes of Sesame Street, which I did because there is so much pro-union stuff over the years in Sesame Street.
Tell the story about the strike.
So in 1970, there was a garbage man strike in New York City. And so Sesame Street did an episode about the strike. And they spent 10 minutes talking about what a strike is and, you know, why the workers, you know, need more money and why the city should give the workers more money. And I couldn't believe what I was watching. And then, of course, Oscar the Grouch came out and said, I love all this trash around, so I hope they never settle. So I'm a new fan of Oscar the Grouch.
And guess what?
He's a hardcore unionist.
Like I said, I was just there. Apparently, there's still a garbage strike
going
on.
Yeah, apparently,
because
right?
Because
there
was nothing but garbage on the streets.
Yeah, it's been 50 years
and
they haven't
caught up.
That
was one thing New York didn't think about when they
the alley
built that
thing.
City. Yeah,
we're going to put all this trash. I mean, they started just putting it, I think, in New Jersey.
Yes.
It's called the Giants.
Yeah.
Hey-oh. Yeah. So it's not only them, Ed. It's also it's the workers at the Kennedy Center.
For sure.
Right? They just fired.
Everybody's feeling the heat.
Well, here. This drives me a little bit crazy because if they had a contract, they wouldn't have to be worrying about this. Now, of course, the Trump administration
is
trying to get around.
Is there a Kennedy Center anymore? I thought now it's going to be, you know.
It's still the Kennedy Center.
Until it
Lifetime Achievement Award, Kid Rock, and Ted Nugent.
But listen, and so I would assume NPR's next, right? And all these places that have never been union before, maybe they're too liberal, maybe they didn't think they need it. You know, just like the government employees, that number that continues to shock me is 800,000, you know, quote-unquote members with only 300,000 paid dues.
Yeah.
These are foxhole prayers.
People are looking for cover at
this point. These are foxhole prayers. And, you know, it's like, look, woulda, coulda, shoulda. I think the whole world understands that at least you have a fighting chance when you're in a union.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So the government employees, right, they tried to take away the collective bargaining rights. They went and sued. They got that overturned.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. Layoffs of blank. Unions went in there, sued, got it overturned. Right.
But in many cases, those workers aren't back to work. They've been reinstated on leave and they'll never be rehired.
And they're getting paid.
To do nothing. So it's actually far more inefficient. But it's like what we said with transit. If you take a flamethrower to a department and wipe out everybody and it goes through court and a month later they say bring everybody back, those people all have other jobs. So the government has lost a function.
Or Ed, they don't have other jobs and now they're on unemployment.
Yeah.
Right? And now they're not spending money.
That's
and
true.
And spending money in the community. And it actually has a downward effect, a downward spiral.
For sure.
And, you know, we've talked about this before, but the national parks, right? They're gutting the national parks and gutting the budgets, and people are waiting massive lines to get in.
Yeah.
Half the parks are closed. The trails are closed. Lions are eating people.
There's lions.
Yes.
Which national park are you talking about?
The one in Africa.
That's a good one.
Right. Yeah, that is a nice one.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, we own that one. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so but what does that mean in plain English? It means that all the hotels and the workers and all the money that these parks bring in, which is billions and billions and billions of dollars, is being lost.
Right.
And it's got this trickle down effect, which is hotel workers, restaurants, you know, gift shops, all this stuff that relies upon that park to be open is now they're all going to go out of business.
We've lost it, yeah.
Right?
So what is
the point of getting rid of
budget? It's supposed to be a jewel of our country. I mean, people who come here from Europe, from other parts of the world, they want to go to national parks. Yeah. They come around the world to go to Yellowstone to see this because they don't have these kinds of protected areas in their countries.
No,
we're just letting it rot. It's crazy.
It is. It makes, first of all, it just doesn't make math sense, right? And it just makes no math sense, right? You're not saving money. You're losing money.
And where's a park ranger going to go find another job? I mean, we need them out there, but, you know, what's he going to do? She going to do? The park ranger.
They're going to have to go do something else. And by the way, they don't make a lot of money.
They don't. They do it because they love it, and it's important.
Right there, they're outside. They like
Teddy Roosevelt was rolling over in his grave knowing what they're doing.
Can you imagine what Teddy Roosevelt would do to this administration if he found out?
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, we'd have like a man's man competition.
Who's this?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Which one was he?
The guy who made the national parks?
He was the first Roosevelt.
He was the guy with the really cool mustache who would disappear for like 6 months at a time.
On a horse and stuff like that.
He's on Mount Rushmore.
Oh, is that right? Who else is on Mount Rushmore?
It's himself. It's Lincoln, Washington, and Jefferson.
Jefferson.
Yes.
Soon to be Trump, though, right?
Yes. That's all changing. Yes. It's going to be one face on Mount Rushmore now.
Yeah, they're going to dig that one into Mount McKinley.
They're going to rename the moon after Trump. It's just going to be the Trump moon.
It's got a big old pie face.
They did plant the American flag on the moon, right?
They did.
Allegedly, Ken. Do you believe that?
Oh, you're the moon conspiracy.
Absolutely not.
That we never landed on the moon?
Yeah, I think we did.
But the thing I never said, to bring it back to AI, which, again, I read something dystopian about our future. I know, and I'm worried about it, but... Knowing that this is happening and knowing that there is a revolution coming, and who knows what's going to happen to workers now that everything is becoming automated, why would our own government cut jobs, knowing that these jobs are going to be lost just through natural attrition and technology and advancements? I think what we're
counting on is that the companies that make outrageous profits on AI are going to give it all back to the people so that these new technological advances mean that people don't have to work as hard. Because that's like, you know, that was the dream of technology originally.
Oh, yes.
People have robot maids like in the Jetsons, like I always say, and we have to work less. Or, I mean, if it went terribly wrong, it would just be a handful of people making trillions of dollars, which, I mean, that can't happen, right? I'm hoping. Any guys?
Phil. It's first of all, there's no rhyme or reason for anything I think that's happening in the government right now. I just don't think that there's any.
I think you're right.
I don't think anything is well thought out.
Yeah.
You saw that, you know, the tariffs back.
It's all impulse decisions.
Back and forth. So stock market's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was 145% for China.
Yeah.
Now it's 30%.
Right.
Carmen.
Is that a win or is that backing down? I don't know.
I guess it's backing down.
Of course it's backing
down.
Ed
says
and you know what? Read about Walmart. Yeah. Walmart literally came out and said, here's the deal. We are raising prices, end of discussion, to pay for the tariffs.
Wow.
So when this is Walmart, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, first of all, it's subsidized by taxpayers because Walmart workers can't afford to live.
They're relying on the social safety
all day, every day, right? So they're going to get rid of that too, but they're going to raise prices. You think they're going to raise wages?
No,
hell no, absolutely not. Right? They're going to take the rest of the money, and it's going to offset the tariffs. So whoop-de-doo, you just put 30% on China. And that 30% got passed along to who? Us.
I think, you know, Amazon, there was a thing with Amazon a couple of weeks ago where they were going to put the cost of tariffs.
Yes. Yeah.
And the White House said that Amazon was working with radical elements of the Communist Party, which is like crazy stuff your crazy uncle who lives in a school bus says. But, I mean, they backed down immediately. But I think
that's their line of attack immediately.
Every single American, though, is just like, wait a second. I would like to know how much I'm paying in tariffs. If prices are going up, I want to know that.
Don't you think
Bezos backed down in a New York bank? He's like, sorry. Yeah, we will go get that. Sorry, Trump.
You know,
I love you.
Don't antitrust me.
Yeah.
But don't you think that like there's somebody that will simply invent an app or a little add-on that, on your computer that goes, here's how much you're paying in tariffs.
And then, and then everyone will say, fake news, and it'll all be over.
But here's the thing.
We're all exhausted, Ken.
Let's say that you are somebody that buys, you know, whatever. You buy paper towels every month, and you know what your paper towel budget is, and all of a sudden that paper towel budget goes up by 30%. You know what that costs, right?
Yep.
You know the fact that eggs are more expensive than they have ever been. Just the same with gas. Everybody knows the price of gas, right? Everybody's a gas expert.
I heard it's like $1.80 now.
Eggs are free.
I don't know where.
They actually pay you to eat eggs now.
Yeah, some guy was trying to give me a a chicken. Like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. And speaking of which, Florida banned fluoride from its water.
That checks out.
Yeah. So the bad teeth are not only going to be limited to meth heads anymore in Florida.
Meth mouth.
Meth mouth.
And now it's no fluoride.
There you go.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
I don't want to sound ignorant. What is the problem with fluoride in drinking water?
Nothing.
What is
the problem? Is
what are the health risks?
The problem is that it helps your teeth stay healthy.
Okay.
It cuts down on dental costs.
Yeah.
It helps your overall health.
All sound like
and
positives.
it makes us not look like people from England.
Oh,
there's not a lot of ways to distinguish.
Most important of all,
right? Until somebody opens their mouth and they're like, "Oh, you're from England." Right?
Usually, I'm against that? Singling out a country, but as an Irish person of Irish descent, just let him have
fair
it.
Fair game.
What was the name? What was that movie with Michael Myers?
Austin Powers.
Yeah, Austin Powers. So he opens his mouth and his teeth are all gnarly. He's like, okay, fine. I'm from England. We don't have fluoride in the water.
That's
right. So the answer is that.
But like, what's the argument from Kennedy, our new Health and Human Services Secretary?
Who swims in toxic, like, sludge, right? Wasn't he swimming in, like,
he swam in the Rock
poo
Creek
water?
River. He swam in the Rock Creek River,
yeah,
which is
I guess,
in,
why do I even ask what his argument
it's
is?
It's in D.C., and in D.C., yeah. There's signs all over. It says, don't swim here. I can't wait till he grows a second head.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't wish ill upon his kids.
Especially, I mean, that family. The Kennedys have been through enough.
Yes, they have. Where are we right now?
I don't know.
we're all over the map. Speaking of maps, we got to take a break. All right. Then we're going to come back and we're going to finish up and talk about two states that are actually three states. We're going to talk about three states. So we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Phil, National Coalition of Labor, sponsored by. And by the way, thanks to all our sponsors.
Yeah.
Right?
We are taking over the Sunday morning market.
We're going to have some big news about that pretty soon. So stay tuned for
certain
that.
Certain football team better watch their back.
That's right.
You might want to move to Arlington, be on the Arlington radio station or whatever it is.
I heard the Pope supports that move.
That's what I heard. Listen, so check this out. We've talked about this once, but there's been a development in Colorado. And Colorado has a Dem Senate, Dem House, and Dem Governor.
Strong blue state at this point.
So.
Heck of a Dem state.
Yeah.
There is, when you win a union election in the state of Colorado, you have to win a two-step process in order to collect dues, right?
So usually in most states, you win an election, everybody is a member of the union, or in a right-to-work state, the union is certified, but nobody has to pay dues.
Right.
Colorado has kind of a hybrid system, which I don't understand why necessarily, but basically the way it works is if there's a union election in the state of Colorado, you have an election. You have to see if you can get a majority of workers to vote to authorize the union, just like every place else. 50% plus one votes, then the union is authorized. When the union is authorized, you then have a second vote. And if you have 75% of the members vote, then the union automatically collects dues from everyone. If you don't get 75, then it's like a right-to-work situation. This extra layer, it's like a half step, a half measure between right-to-work and not right-to-work.
Right.
Maybe it was a compromise at some point if a right-to-work law was proposed.
Or sounds like it.
Like a loophole, something like that. But Democrats have taken over and they're like, we're done with this. This is totally unnecessary. Let's get rid of this sort of like half-hearted attempt at, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
And so they've got a law, they've passed it, and the governor, who's a Democrat, says he's going to veto it.
They had to actually pare down the law just to get it passed the House and the Senate. And you know what they had to get rid of? Heat protection, right? And get rid of some important protections in the bill just to get it to the governor. And so now it
in
passes.
In a blue state? That just doesn't add up.
It's insane to me. So it passes. Right, voila, it's going up to the governor. The governor, who's a Dem, says, I'm going to veto it.
Yeah.
And you got to be joking me. And here's why Democrats can't have nice things.
Yes.
Right?
He's termed out also. So this must be because
this
he
just
has
must be pro business,
yeah,
money,
national aspirations.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like if you're this party of the working class, like right. you keep saying you are, then you have to be the party yeah, of the working class.
Yeah.
Either you're with us or you're not with us. When Josh Hawley is doing more than the Dems are,
yeah.
maybe you got to rethink your position on some things. So that was shocking to me. We'll see what happens if he actually vetoes it.
Yeah.
And then do they have a veto-proof majority? I don't.
What the Democrats are looking to do is a constitutional
get
amendment
it on the,
to
yeah,
get
it,
rid
yeah.
of this
yeah.
in 2026. But again, that's an effort that's going to take $20 million.
And once again, you know, the heavy
money.
Lift and years in the making, right, and all the kind of stuff. So, you know, but you know what? If that's what people got to do,
that's what it takes. Good.
Then I agree with that.
It'll sail through. It'll pass with flying colors.
Right. We're counting on Democrats here yeah. to do the right thing.
So, Phil, tell me about Fenway Park.
So Fenway Park,
which is in the horrible state of Boston.
Yes, city of Boston.
There's several.
I'm joking. That's a joke.
You don't like Boston?
You know, being from New York, you're not allowed to like Boston.
Yes,
Boston is a good, strong union town. A lot of operators there. Mr. Walsh came from there, right?
Yep. Marty Walsh.
Marty
yeah.
Walsh. I definitely like Boston. It's just you ever drive in Boston?
Your arch rival.
It's insane.
But they had the biggest engineering project ever in the world called
the Big Dig.
And you're just driving on this enormous highway underground under downtown.
It made life so much easier because the minute you step foot in Boston, you get lost.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
The Big Dig is like, go here, go there, boom, you're at the airport or wherever you got to go.
I went there a couple of years ago. I was super impressed.
I like it. It's still kind of like, it's like Philly, right? It's like a East Coast. You know, down and dirty.
Let's
city.
Not say things we can't take back.
It's like Philly.
They greased the light poles.
Yeah.
They burned down the city once every.
Yeah,
you know,
people
six
still
months.
Managed to get up there, and you know.
Yeah.
So, all right, what's going on?
So,
at Fenway?
The concession workers at Fenway have authorized a strike that I believe goes into effect in June.
When
so,
in June? Do you know?
I think maybe the first.
Oh
yeah,
no way!
It's right on the corner.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you this. It goes back to my point when we had Megan from the Soccer Players Association on the Soccer Players Union. Will the MLB players cross that picket line? And I believe that what she explained to me was that in their contract, they have a clause that says you cannot honor a picket line.
Yeah.
And I say to the players, so
do it.
What?
What are they going to do, fire you?
What, are they going to put you in baseball jail? I'm serious.
Right.
Do it.
Are they going to replace you? Are the Red Sox going to be a bunch of minor league players?
You know,
I don't think so.
The replacements, right? Like
yeah,
folks
have leverage.
NFL, right? Yeah, you have leverage. So guess what? You know, don't show up. Don't cross a picket line.
Do the right thing.
Do the right thing. You have all the money in the world. These are the people that support you, that make people want to come to the stadium, right? They're coming to the stadium to see a game, et cetera, right? But they're also coming to have a couple of beers,
of
hot dogs. Yeah.
Scream at the outfielders.
Yeah, whatever. Right? Throw if you're in Philly, throw batteries at Santa Claus.
That's true.
Like, that's fun stuff, right?
Yeah, if you're in Philly. That's what your parents raise you to do.
Yeah.
Well, don't they in Chicago, if they hit a home run at Wrigley, don't people throw the ball back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? That's just rude.
Hold on. Throw the ball back versus throwing batteries at Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a
stretch.
We
should step up our game a little bit.
I think maybe Philly should step it down.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they're going to go on strike.
Yeah.
And A, you know that the Teamsters are people that are driving food in and beverages and things like that. That's getting shut down. Are you going to want to go see a game with no popcorn, no beers,
mm-hmm.
no peanuts, no hot dogs, no nothing? Of
mm-hmm.
course not. You're absolutely not. If you're a working class person in Boston, I know... You know, you're probably listening to this on Spotify. Do not cross that picket line. If there's a picket outside, you don't go to that game. End of discussion.
That's right.
So if that's what it takes, then that's what it kind of takes. Let them play to an empty stadium.
Is the MLB under the NLRA players?
Yes.
They are? Okay.
Yes. So, and they have a ton of money.
Yeah.
Tons, right? So you would think that they could step in and solve it.
They should.
Help solve the strike, right? This is what I keep talking about. Anyway, we got to roll.
We do have a listener of the week.
Yeah, shout out to listener of the week, and that is the Pope. Thank you so much, Pope.
Thank you for your support.
Pope Leo, thank you for your now and future support forever.
Yes.
Thank you for telling God to take care of the workers.
We were happy to put in the good word for you to become the next pope also.
Well, we did have some say in it, right?
We did, yeah.
And thank you,
for
getting
anything.
Portillo's to put their beef sandwiches on sale.
What do you mean?
Because Portillo's isn't going to make a lot of money because they're selling, they've got a Leo.
Oh.
And it, you know what it is? It's a limited time sandwich. It's an Italian beef that's dipped.
Oh, my God.
How original.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah. Way to go, Portillo's.
Well, Portillo's that's trying to overturn the National Labor Relations Act. That Portillo's?
It's Portillo's.
Ooh, good one. If you work there, it's your Portillo's.
Yeah, he's a bona beef guy now.
All right. Listen, we'll be back next week with more Pope. more of the Workers' Mic. 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.